So we just totally got exposed there, didn't we? Now the girls totally know how we think. But I just think one of the funniest things is that most of the girls don't understand that we think differently than them. So that's what I've been actually dealing with some of the girls going like, they just don't get it. And I'm like, we really don't think like you guys think. That was good. We just blew their minds. It's awesome because now they're going zzz, thinking about all the stuff we just talked about. We're like, okay, so now we're talking next. That box is okay. Before we start, please put away your nothing box. Okay. Let's get rid of that box. In about, half an hour or so, you can pull that box out. Okay. So here's the thing, guys. We need some tools, right? Because we got to handle these strong desires. We got to figure out how to deal with our selfishness. We got to figure out how to deal with our pride and our self-sufficiency. And we also have to deal with this fact that we have a whole bunch of compartments that Jesus wants to not to merge, but Jesus wants to be in every single compartment. Okay, he wants to be over all and in all. Okay, so you don't have a relationship compartment that doesn't have Jesus in it, and you don't have a sports compartment that doesn't have Jesus in it, and you don't have a school, go to school and do my schoolwork compartment that doesn't have Jesus in it. He wants to be in all the boxes, okay? Maybe that's the best way to describe it, because it's hard for us to, what? How does Jesus be in everything? But he needs to be part of everything. And it goes back to this whole idea that we're created to glorify him and enjoy him forever. That's the whole purpose of our life. Okay, so here's some tools. Here's the deal. Okay, struggles, trials, hardship, pain, and failure do not nullify us from experiencing the fullness of God that God has for us. You guys need to understand this. This is super important. Let me read that again, okay? Because we've just been listening to me talk for 35 minutes. Struggles, trials, hardship, pain, and failure do not nullify you from experiencing the fullness of life that God desires for you. Because here's the deal. And I think you guys would agree with me, at least maybe. One of the things that's really hard, especially, well, you know what? It doesn't change. I was going to say especially in teenagers. Not especially. It's me too. You're going to battle lust your whole life. It's going to be a battle. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It doesn't go away when you get married. It's one of those constant things that plagues us. It's one of those strong desires that God's built, I'd say, in pretty much every man. I don't know if anyone's exempt. So if you think you're the only one struggling with masturbation or really super strong sexual desires, give your head a shake. You're all doing it. You're all struggling with it, right? This is difficult. And why is that? It's because of these strong desires that are not wrong that God has given you. These desires in themselves are not wrong. And I think what happens is we associate the struggle and the constant failures as, I'm not good enough. I don't measure up. How can God keep forgiving me for this? This is crazy. If it wasn't for this issue in my life, I could probably say I'm a pretty holy guy. Are you guys on the same page as me? Okay? But I don't think it needs to be like that. I want to give you guys hope today. It doesn't have to be like that. It really doesn't. Our culture tells us that these are so strong, these desires are so strong that you won't be able to fight it. That's garbage. That is not true. That is crap. And that's what the enemy wants you to believe, that these things are just unavoidable, that you're going to fall into sin, that you're going to end up sleeping with your girlfriend, that all this stuff is going to happen, that you can't avoid it. That's garbage. That's not true. It really isn't. Okay? And I don't want you to look at these desires and give up. Because here's what God tells us in the Bible over and over and over, that it's God's plan to use our greatest struggles, our greatest weakness, our greatest hardships, our greatest pain, and greatest failures to produce strength, courage, and character. One of the reasons I think that God, I don't have a Bible verse to back this up, but one of the reasons that I think God gave us these strong desires is because when we battle and constantly give these things to God, and we fail, but we get back up, and they're hard and they're painful, is because it produces in you a strength that you could never have. Here's my example for guys. You guys ever all watched the movie Gladiator? Seriously, that's like my favorite movie. It's unbelievable, right? You have this guy who goes through the worst hardship and struggle ever imaginable. He is overwhelmed, outgunned. Well, there's no guns, but he's just like, there's no chance for this dude. And he somehow manages to kill the Caesar, right? You're just like, whoa, now that's a man, right? And you're just like pulled into this story because this is epic, right? And where does this guy's character come from? It comes from the hardship, the pain, and the struggle in this guy's life. The character and the courage and strength comes from that. And yet our culture is so weird because they'll do it in a movie like that, and the reason why we're drawn into that is because that's our struggle. That it really is our struggle. That's our battle. We're drawn into the story because of that. But our culture on the outside says, oh, hardship and pain and failure, those are things you need to run away from. Those are horrible. Those are like, oh, those affect your happiness. But God has something better than happiness, because happiness doesn't last, right? It only lasts as long as you're feeling good. What happens when things go really horribly bad? That's why I think it's a good example of Gladiator. His whole family gets killed at the start of the movie. This is part of this the depth of this man's pain that brought out the strength that he has, right? It's incredible. We have this story over and over and over in the Bible. These men that walk through horrible things. And here's Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, this is a man's man psalm. I mean, it's used sometimes kind of feminine, but think about this. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What? How does that work? Because this is what God has for us. That he draws us into the very valley of death. But because we know that it produces strength and character and courage, we can go through that valley. And why? Because he's with us. If you're a Christian, he's with you through that valley. And this is what he's producing in you. So I don't think we need to be afraid of our sexual desires. And I know they're strong, and I know some of you guys feel like, this is the only thing that's keeping me away from actually maybe being even partially holy. I want you to erase that thought and think about it differently. That those desires that God given you has God that God's given you are not evil. That he's given you them. They're a gift. Because they produce something in you that can't be reproduced. So don't give up, guys. Failure is not the end. See, the story of the Christian life is we fail over and over again. But guess what? We get back up. Okay, best example I can think of is Rocky. You guys watch any of the Rocky movies? Right? What an idiot, right? He's getting his face bashed in. Doesn't matter. Gets back up and back into the fight. Well, that's kind of what God wants from us. He's like, and Rocky ends up, you know, being the heavyweight champ. And this is kind of what God has for us. We're getting like, sometimes it feels like we're just getting pounded by lust and by all these other things around us. And we're just kind of like, ah! But God just wants you to get up. He wants you to ask for forgiveness, repent, get up, and keep fighting. Because it's going to produce something in you. So you see some of these really godly men that you may know. It's not that they don't struggle with these things, you guys. Don't think that, oh, they're exempt because they're holy. They're not. The reason that that godliness is being produced in them is because they keep getting up after they fall. All right. So here's what we need. Here's the tools that we need. We need to train our minds. In Romans chapter 1, it says, in fact, I'm just going to read it. This is where the questions were that the girls are going through. Romans chapter 12. Sorry. This is what it says. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. So, you know, we talk about worshiping in music and song, but what the Bible says is the true, not that this isn't worship, but the true way, or the most authentic way of worshiping God is to give him your body. And that means everything. To give him who you are completely and offer yourself to him. That's the true act of worship. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. But instead, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. This is appealing to guys. It's harder, I think, than girls, because guys, again, girls, relational, thinking through emotional lenses. Guys mostly, you know, are thinking, right? They're not thinking, feeling, right? We delve into the emotional stuff too, and some guys are more emotional than others. That's fine. But generally, this appeals to the male mind, because we're like, change the way we think and change the way we feel, can change the way we behave. Wow, this is good, right? I can do this. And what is the promise? Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So don't copy the behavior and customs of the world. So we don't have to copy the world. We don't have to get into the same rhythms as they. We don't have to watch the same movies they watch. We don't have to tell the same jokes they tell. We don't have to get into that stuff that causes our downfall. We don't need to do that. Jesus says that we can be different. We can actually be transformed and start to think differently. And that's kind of what I think God wants us to do. He wants us to give him our bodies, our sexuality. And then that's included in our body, right? You can't give him your body without giving him that. And so that's part of it. So we give it to him. And I think that's really important. Now, here's some tools, I think, or some things that we need to understand. One of the things that we have to watch out for is stuff that trips us up. Okay? And there's times in your existence, we'll say, when you're more vulnerable than other times. When you're angry, when you're tired, when you've had a massive spiritual high, and what was the other one? Tired, angry, bored. Okay? Those four things. That is when you are most susceptible to falling into sexual sin. All kinds of sin, but let's just hit sexual sin, okay? So, and not just, you know, going out and trying to find a woman to sleep with. Let's broaden this to like pornography, to movies, magazines, you know, whatever. You're drawn into that kind of stuff. Dirty jokes, sexting, you name it, right? Those are the times when you are most vulnerable. Bored, angry, tired, spiritual high. Okay? Why is that? Well, I'm not really sure exactly. I'm sure there's some scientific research and stuff, but I know the spiritual reason is the enemy knows that that's when you're weakest. That's when you're weakest, and he wants to take a run at you. So I'm telling you right now, here's some ways to you can actually win some battles. Because here's the thing. We're not trying to win the war in one foul thing and go like, yes, I won the war. Walk away. The next day you're like, spear in the chest. I died. We're not trying to win it in one big foul swoop, right? When it comes to sexuality. We need to see this as a battle at a time. And so here's some things that you might want to think about. When you're in one of those four states, shouldn't be surfing on the internet. Shouldn't be home alone. Near a computer, you know, catching my drift? That if you remove yourself from the situation, you're going to remove yourself from the temptation. Okay, because here's how guys think, and this is how I thought for so long, is that I should be strong enough. And you know what? I get pissed off at myself when I'd fall. I can't believe I did this. Because I thought I was strong enough, right? And then I found out I wasn't. So that's really what I was mad about, not necessarily the sin, right? The sin bugged me still, because I love Jesus. I didn't want to sin against him. But it really bothered me that I wasn't able to be strong enough, right? That's not the issue. When it comes to sexual sin, the Bible tells us to run. Flee sexual immorality. So what that means is when you start recognizing the signs, when you're in an environment, so alone is one of those environments, and you're in one of these states that we talked about, boredom being probably, lots of you guys face that, then the first thing you need to do is run. Okay? Because you don't have a chance. You are going to fall. But if you remove yourself from the temptation, this is not the wussy way out. This is actually the smart man's way out, is that you don't allow yourself to get into the position to be tempted in the first place. Does that make sense? Darce? Yeah? And we can do that. You know, there'll still be times that you fall, but I guarantee it, it will be less. Other things is I don't know if you've ever heard, and this is something I wish somebody would have told me when I was a young man, is that you can actually train your mind. You know that? You can train your mind. I didn't know this. And you know what? I still deal with some of the consequences of just whenever I wanted to think about sex or whenever I wanted to fantasize about a woman, I would just let my mind go. I didn't care. I'm like, whatever, I don't care. It's only me. It only hurts me. It's not really hurting me. It's actually kind of fun. Right? I just thought it was, I didn't think it was a problem. No one ever told me that, you know what? That's going to affect you. And that God actually wants you to train your mind, that you can actually train it. Because, man, you let your mind go like that, you're training it in a different direction. And for me, when I got married, I was like, oh, now I got to start training my mind. This kind of sucks. Because now it's really hard, because now there's some pretty heavy consequences, right? I'm not just saying that to scare you into that. I'm just saying that's just part of the consequences of not training your mind. And that's not the reason you should do it. The reason is that God wants you to glorify Him so that you can enjoy Him forever. And so when we train our minds, so let's say we see a hot girl. It's not a problem seeing a hot girl. It's not a problem that you saw her. You don't have to go like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I saw that girl. You know, you don't have to do that, right? It's, you know, there's beauty all around us. God made beauty, and it's beautiful. So, yeah, we notice it. Of course we do. Yeah, just because I'm a pastor, you know, I was going, oh, Chris never noticed that girl because he's a pastor. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm a man, right? Of course I know. If she's beautiful, I noticed her, right? And attraction, too. You can't help attraction, can you? You can't just say, I'm not attracted. You're just lying to yourself, right? If you are attracted, it's because you're attracted. It doesn't matter whether you're married or not. That attraction just, you know, it doesn't go like, oh, he's married, so I guess he can't be attracted to anybody. We'll just shut that part off of you. It doesn't happen. Of course it doesn't, right? Now you're thinking of your fathers differently. I'm like, sorry about that. Or your pastor. I'm like, ooh. But no, let's be honest, right? That part of you doesn't shut off. And so here's the deal. Sin happens when you decide to dwell on those things. So you see the beautiful girl and you ogle the beautiful girl. Sorry, I'm kind of looking at John. I'm not me. Sorry. He's kind of going like, oh, I'm feeling awkward. I'm looking over you. To the back. Pretend woman. And then you start thinking about her sexually. Okay, you start thinking about her assets. Okay, you guys thought I was going to say something else, didn't you? But you start, sorry, now I'm totally degraded here. You start thinking about other things. You might start undressing her with your mind. At that point, yeah, you're in trouble. You've sinned, okay? It's not too late to reel it back and go like, okay, that crap, Lord, I'm sorry. Because if you keep going, that's training your mind, okay? You're going to fall. You're gonna start entertaining thoughts. But when you become conscious of that thought and that, oh, I'm taking that thought to a place it shouldn't be, that's the point where it starts to become sin. If you say, I think I'll just keep thinking about it. Okay? That's the times it starts to become. It's not sin at the start. Being attracted, seeing beauty is not sin. Dwelling on now there's that fine line, right? Where you're looking at every girl there is. As a married man, that's tough one. Your head's on a swivel. You got to be careful with that, right? That's kind of hurtful to your wife, too. And she notices. She's not stupid. She can see that. And so, yeah, you can still see the beauty. You can't miss it, right? It's there. It's just that you have to choose and train yourself not to look. Because, seriously, you're not going to remember like a couple days away. Maybe even a couple minutes after you've seen her, right? There's going to be a different nice-looking girl to look at, right? But seriously, so you just, are you going to trade that moment? So that's the kind of thing. You got to start thinking, training your mind, because our inner natural self will be like, yeah, totally, I'll take that moment, right? At any consequence, I don't care. What God wants for us is something greater. He wants fullness for us, and so He wants us to learn and train ourselves not to do that. And are you guys with me? Are you understanding what I'm talking about, the difference between actually lusting after a woman and noticing her beauty? Right? You guys are with me on that, right? Okay, so I'm not just talking stupidity here. Okay, good. And here's kind of the last thing I want to leave you guys with, and we'll if you guys got questions, ask me some questions. We need each other. I mentioned this before. Here's the thing. Guys are so secretive when it comes to sin and darkness in their life. We're so secretive. We like to hide. And I've been the best at it my whole life. I hid so much stuff from my parents, from my friend, my Christian, you know, or actually, you know, it was my non-Christian friends because I was going crazy with my Christian buddies. And anyway, that's a different story. But I was really good at hiding, keeping things hidden. I still am really good at it. That really sucks. I do not want to hide stuff. Like I said, I really am committed. I want to live in the light. I really do. But I'm so good at being secretive and dark and shifty, and I've done it for so long that I can get away with it. And so that scares me. And I need other guys to walk life with. I got to have them. I need them. I recognize those things in me. And so I know that some of these things are embarrassing for us to talk about. But I would say, you know, as the body of Christ, let's walk together with these things. If you're struggling with pornography, lust issues, anything sexually, let's bring that out into the light and get shine the light. Because one of the, like, 80% of the battle is actually shining the light on it. That changes things immediately. Sin festers and grows in the darkness. But as soon as you shine the light on it, bam, something happens. I'm not sure why that is, but it does, because I think we should be a little more worried that God, the Almighty, who's never sinned, knows, than the rest of us who all have done it, right? But there's something in us where we fear other men. And so I'm saying that God's, if you're a Christian, God's given you the community of believers to walk through this stuff and to bring it into the light. So I'm happy to, you know, seriously, every year I go through with students, tons of students, over the years, lots and lots and lots. I got good materials to go through. I got great books to read. If you want to train your mind in righteousness and pure thinking, and to kind of get the upper hand in this battle and understand that Jesus can actually do some pretty incredible stuff and grow some of this courage and strength and character in you, then bring that stuff out into the light. Don't keep it hidden. It doesn't matter how old you are, or how young you are, how deep the struggle is. You need to walk in the light. We got a community of people here that love each other. If you come in my office, it doesn't matter who you are, if you come in my office and drop the bomb about porn, or just, it doesn't have to be porn, it could be just be I really struggle with lust. Come talk to me. I'm a man. I understand your struggle. I have it too. Let's bring it out to the light. Let's walk it together. You don't have to hide it. It's not, the lie from Satan is that nobody else is, and they will think terrible things about you, how dirty and shameful you are. It's crap. It's not true. We all struggle with it. We all fall. So let's bring it out into the light and walk together. Does that sound good? So you guys need to know my door is always open. We got youth leaders here. You might even be a youth leader. Come see me. I don't care. Like, let's talk. Let's not leave these things festering in the dark. So, but we're happy to walk that with you guys. That's part of why we're here. To walk through life with you. We're not just giving you fancy advice. We actually want to do life with you guys. So, any questions about anything? Yeah, sorry. I should let you close the other box first. It's like, okay, close up talk box, open up question box. Oh, it's empty. Because that's true, isn't it? That's how we think. When we transition to ask questions, we need a little time to go like, oh, okay, I need to open that. Where's that box? Has this been beneficial, you guys? Because if it hasn't, then I need to change tactics. We need to talk differently, right? It has, though? It has? Yeah? Okay, good. Okay, now your question box has got to be open by now. What's that? It's still empty, the question box?
Open.
Yeah, it's open. Okay, fair enough. I know it's an unfair. For some of us, it takes a longer to... Because we all have questions, right? Just when the box got closed, there was like a trap door, and then all the questions fell out, and we seriously can't remember what they were. Exactly. It has I'm serious.
You talked about like training your mind.
Yeah.
And you said that was kind of like something you wish you would have known.
Yeah, when I was a kid,
so
no one ever told me.
Like,
that.
What are some tips? How do you?
Okay. One of them is you can read a book called Every Young Man's Battle. Excellent book. So starting with that kind of stuff. But I mean, some practical tips is that when you notice beauty, it's okay to notice, but don't dwell there, right? It's okay to look. You saw, okay. Don't ogle, okay? That's one, right? As soon as you start ogling, you're putting yourself in a state of, it's called agitation, right? It's just, you know, we go from, you know, different states. So we're kind of in a normal state, and then you go into a state of agitation, and it's usually caused by, you know, outside force, right? And so that's what's happening there. If you ogle, it puts you into a different state of agitation. And most sin, once you've hit the stage of agitation, you're probably gonna carry out the sin. That's why I'm like, that's one of the practical things. It's okay to notice beauty. Wow, that girl's amazing, right? But don't dwell there, right? She's going to be out of your mind in very quickly, especially if she's walking past or something. So don't just walk and look as long as you can look. That's putting yourself in a state of agitation. That's going to lead to sin. Maybe that's sin. I don't know, but it's one of those fine lines, right? Yeah. If you're married, yeah, I'd say it's sin. So, yeah.
I think along with training your mind, train your eyes, because physically, guys are generally taller than women. You get in a situation where you're going up to a teller, she's wearing a shirt that's right down the front. Ooh, take a step back. Yeah, oops, take a step back, take a step to the side. Actually physically move your body.
And that's hard, right? Because you don't want to.
No, you don't want to.
Because that's a nice view, right?
Yeah.
Let's just be honest. It's like, wow, that's a nice view.
But look, practice. Look at your friends straight in the eye.
You guys need to know, I'm still trying to figure this stuff out. I still struggle. Man, I work hard. So when I go into a store, let's say with Setna, right? So they got all those magazines. I do not look at the magazines. If I accidentally look this way, it wasn't because I was trying to look at a magazine. I've actually trained my mind in that specific spot. I do not want to look at the magazines on the racks. Okay? So I don't look at them. I walk past them to the bathroom because I know the bathroom, you have to walk past them to get to the bathroom, right? So I have trained my mind and my eyes not to look at those magazines because I don't want to put myself, even if it's not sin, I don't want to put myself in a state of agitation, okay? I don't want to be thinking that way, especially when I'm on a youth trip. Dang, it's hard enough as it is, right? So maybe that's like one of the practical tips.
Another practical tip is, it was practiced by Billy Graham, surround yourself with guys you trust. When Billy Graham went out, he surrounded himself with three other guys, George Griffin, Shea, there's four of them. He was walking through an airport, they wanted to get a picture with him and three Playboy bunnies. They were walking up. Those three guys were right there. They swooped in, surrounded him, so the picture was never taken. The picture that showed up was a whole row of guys. So have the guys around you that notice your signs, or that they will notice yours, you will notice theirs, or they do.
So another practical thing that I've done, I don't surf the internet ever. Okay, I don't care if I'm not in one of those four states. I do not surf the internet. I don't trust myself. Okay, and if I don't trust myself, you shouldn't trust yourself. Okay, I mean, I've been training myself for a long time, and I know that surfing puts me at some point, at any point, I can enter agitation just like that. And I do not want to get to that state because then it's so hard to pull back. Okay, so like I don't surf. And you may go in like, whoa, that's pretty hard. It's like half my life is surfing. Well, I'm gonna like, well, dude, you should probably stop surfing anyway for different reasons. Right? We don't need to surf. There's a whole world out there. Let's not get into the pretend world. Okay? Same with video games. Be careful about the video games that you play. Video games can really put you in a state of agitation, especially because your mind's kind of like in video game, exactly, video game mode. Watch out for these. Some of these games are, you know, there's some pretty nasty stuff in there as far as sexuality goes. You don't need to play those games. Pfft, whatever, it's not going to kill you to throw that game out. Music, careful, but music can put you in a state of agitation like that. Like it is, music does crazy stuff to us. Be careful the stuff that you're listening to, man. If the lyrics are just pounding sexual stuff at you, turn it off. Get rid of that stuff. Like these, I'm just telling you practical tips that I'm putting in my own life. I don't listen to that stuff. If you hear something on the radio, turn it off. I never used to do that. Okay? Here's another thing that's just more recent, the last few years of my life. I don't watch movies that have nudity in them. I used to go like, it'll be okay. Like, well, this movie is good, so I'll watch 300. It's got a little nudity in it. It should be fine. At this point, I've kind of switched that. Because nudity is pretty much 100% lust. There's going to be some lust there. You're not going to escape lusting after. If you think, I'm strong enough, I can handle it, you're just in a state of agitation, and it's going to come out somewhere. We don't need to watch movies with nudity in them. You know, it sucks, especially when there's a good movie that has nudity in it. They're like, come on, 300 did not need to do that, right? I love that movie. Sucks, right? But I've realized that, man, I don't know if I want to compromise that stuff. But you see, this is the stuff. It's hard. It's not easy. But that's what produces stuff in you. Yeah.
So, if you watch 300, you're white.
Yeah.
You watch your card, plus gold, it's gone. It's gone.
No, not necessarily wrong. But I don't want other women to excite me sexually so that I then satisfy it with my wife. Okay? I don't want that. I want my wife, and I pray, here's another thing. When you guys get married, pray this all the time. I pray this all the time. I ask God that my sexual desires will be fulfilled in my wife. I pray that all the time because our sexual desires are big, right? They're big. And it's easy for them to be fulfilled otherwise. So that's a really, Austin, that's a really good question. Because there was a time in my life I thought it was okay. Seriously. And now I know it's not, because I'm using my wife. And that's not what sex is for. It's not for using. It's selfish, right? I'm trying to, like we talked about, one of my bucket sins, our bucket sins is selfishness. I'm trying to alleviate something. It has nothing to do with her. And that sucks. That's not what God created sex for. There's something much better that God has created sex for. So, good question. He just went up to Jay because you didn't ask a question. Little brother. Yeah.
What if the thoughts you're having?
Pretty natural. It's pretty tough. Chances are you're not with that girl because you're not attracted to her. Okay. Much more likely that you're attracted to her and that's why you're with her. So that's going to be a battle. That's going to be a tough one. That's why it's difficult to date without marriage in mind. And even with marriage in mind, it's really hard. This is tough. But I don't think it's not doable. I think it's something that you and your girl can talk about together. You really got to limit your physical activity with a girl, guys. Because, here's another practical thing. Be careful. I mean, hugs and... some things seem innocent. I don't think they're sin, but they put you in a state of agitation. They really do. Because let's be honest, when you hug a girl, her boobs touch you, you know, right? You know, right? You can pretend you don't know. You know, you did that. Which is why, seriously, this is why, there'll be some times where I'll hug a girl like that, but most times I'll try the side hug, okay? Because we are acutely aware of the physicalness of the woman, right? So careful with the hugs, guys. Let's not pretend that they're innocent. So, Elijah.
You're just talking about that. I know that's oxytocin.
Oxytocin, yeah.
Yeah, that's released in the brain.
Touch produces.
Yeah. So kills everything bad. But what's other tips that you can give to avoid, like you talked talk about avoiding those situations.
Yeah.
There's some other thing.
Like in a relationship?
Yeah, like with other guys.
Here's some stuff that, again, I didn't have any guidance in this. And you know what? One of my biggest regrets was my dating relationship with Jamie. I wish so bad I could change some of the stuff. Because I'm going to talk about this in 2 weeks. But in my mind, everything except the act, physical act of sex was okay. And that was just horrifying. I opened up a whole can of sexual immorality stuff that I was willing to do, thinking that, oh, as long as we don't have penetration, I'm okay. Right? Just totally deceived. So here's some practical stuff. Limit your alone time. Like, seriously limit it. Have fun together with a group of people. One of the things that you often get as a couple, people get pissed off is because you isolate. And you just want to be with that person all the time. Well, how about let's hang out with friends together, right? You're together still. And you can still have some moments of aloneness in a crowd where you can talk. So that's one of the ways to kind of go about it a little bit safe. You know, watch out for times in your car. Never be in your girlfriend's bedroom ever, or your bedroom with the door closed or with no one in the house. Absolutely not, you guys. If your parents have made that rule, they've done you a disservice. Make it yourself. Don't go there. That's just craziness. If you're like, I'm not assuming everyone's a Christian, but if you're both Christians, you really got to watch out praying together. Scary. I really think that spiritual intimacy is something for marriage because of its strength. You do not know the power of spiritual intimacy. You know what? One of the biggest things, in fact, I wish the girls were here because they would confirm this. Something that's super attractive to girls is spiritual maturity. They are attracted to it, especially a girl who loves God. Really attracted to that. And so I think devotions, intimate prayer times, those are things that you save for marriage because they're awesome in marriage and they often lead up to other things, okay, that you don't want to lead to. And again, don't get me wrong. It's not that they always lead there, but I'm just saying, be careful. It's going to put you in a state of agitation. And you may not even notice it because it's a euphoric feeling. You guys know what euphoric means? It's like really good. Makes you feel really good. And you might be thinking it's a spiritual thing. Chances are maybe a little bit spiritual, but it's a lot of physical stuff going on. So watch out for that. I don't know how many of you guys got girlfriends, but pray in groups. Again, there's some safety there, right? Pray in groups, people. Just be careful about that. Is it okay to hold hands? Yeah, I think it's okay. I think it's pretty innocent. My rule is if you do it with your mom, you can do it with your girlfriend. Is that a good rule?
Not at all.
You're in a perfect spot then. Anything you wouldn't do with your mom, don't do with your girlfriend. So, would you sit beside your mom in church? Yeah, right? would every once in a while you do a side hug with your mom? Yeah. Would you kiss your mom on the cheek? Yeah, maybe. Would you make out with her? Oh, no. Huh? There you go. Problem solved. How far is too far? If you wouldn't do it with your mom, you're good. Sorry, that's just new. I've just been thinking about that lately. I'm like, hey, that's a good rule. Yeah. But anyway, but there's safety in that, right? And part of it is being open with your girlfriend, guys. Be open with her about this stuff. Don't keep her in the dark so she's like, I don't know if he likes me because he won't touch me. Like, don't keep her in the dark. Talk openly. And if you need help, come talk to me or talk to one of our leaders together and go like, hey, what's a good strategy for us? Like, don't just pretend. Like, and don't keep her in the dark, because we're really good at that, guys. We can just put that in a box and forget about it. Well, it's going on. Doesn't matter what you're doing. She's still thinking about that. She's like, zzz, zzz. Watching the movie, she's thinking about that. You went out for supper, she's thinking about that. She went to hold your hand, and you kind of went, and then she's really thinking about that. Communication is really important in any kind of relationship with a girl, with a woman. You need to...
One thing that don't go back. That's if you get strong enough in the relationship and then you get the guys and girls to break up, well, we'll remain friends. Doubt it. You won't. Certain line, won't go back.
Well, generally that's true. I mean, there is way back, like if you make a mistake, right? If you've made a mistake, there's way back. But generally, that's a true statement. Like, you're going to keep pushing the boundary. You're not going to back up from the boundary, right? That's generally true. So watch out for that. If you've made those mistakes, it's not too late to reestablish those things. It's just going to be a lot harder. Does that answer your question, Elijah? Is that some good practical stuff?
Yeah,
we went maybe deeper than you were asking.
Fill the box, did we?
Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. Hey. Yeah. No, I think praying for your girlfriend would be the best thing to do. Not with her. Pray for her. That's the best. Praying with her produces other things, is what I'm saying. That's good for your wife. But pray for your girlfriend is awesome. Right? You can pray for her. Cool. She has someone other than her parents now that's praying for her on a regular basis. That's amazing. If she doesn't have Christian parents, you might be the only one covering her in prayer. That's awesome. You don't have to do it with her. For instance, okay, let's say something happened at Ignite. Your girlfriend was like distraught. What do? Do you pray with her? Yes. You're in this building. You're with people. But here's what you don't do. You don't get all cuddly and hold hands. Okay, don't do that. In fact, you might go, if it's really private, no. But you might want to call another girl or leader over and go like, can we pray? Like, that's how you do that. Like, so that's really practical advice. So there are ways of avoiding it and not hurting your girlfriend's feelings, right? And then letting her know that this is, it's not that I don't want to pray with you. I think it's awesome. In fact, I can't wait till we could, like, especially if it's headed towards marriage, right? But for right now, you need to know I'm praying for you on a regular basis. This is something that's important to me. But when we pray, I'm probably going to invite somebody in to pray. Let's not keep these things in the dark. Because bringing things out into the light, if the girlfriend has told you something and you're the only one who knows, I don't know if that's really bringing it into the light. She needs to have her friends or someone else other than her boyfriend to pray with and talk through things. So that's for her benefit. There's no guarantee, especially in high school, that you're going to be dating this girl 2, 3, 4 years down the road, or she's going to be your wife. You know, just being honest, right? It's not that she won't be. It's just statistically, it's about, 3% or something? So that you'll marry your high school sweetheart? But, I mean, it happens. I mean, Corrine has, right? She's one of our leaders. She married her high school. It happens, but not that often. So, you know, just be careful with those things, right? You don't want to create bonds that, man, you have a spiritual bond with somebody, and then you break off your relationship? Holy crap, dude. You've just destroyed her on a whole nother level, right? So it's also some thinking ahead and thinking about her, right? Going like, this is for her good, that we don't have this connection until we're married. So.
I told my wife, just over here, that the prayer, fencing something that I have some nonverbal communication. One of them is help.
Yeah. That's a good point, Darcy. I mean, we have all these rules. I don't take girls home. I don't drive them home. Unless there's a group of them and I can drop them all in one spot. In my truck from youth, I won't drive a girl home. She might be at McDonald's. I'll call up another leader and go like, hey, can you come and pick up this girl? I'm not going to drive her home as a leader, okay, in my position. Am I gonna do something with this girl? I hope not. But am I gonna elevate myself to a spot? I'll never fall. Guess who's gonna fall? The Bible even says that. If you think you're standing, be careful you do not fall. As soon as you get self-sufficient and proud, guess what happens? Pride becomes before what? The fall. Right? So it's not about being proud and I can handle it. It's actually about setting up these fences so that these things don't happen. So, you know, no one's ever going to accuse me of something I didn't do in my office because I have a window and my door's open and someone's in the building if I'm meeting with a woman. It's never going to be me and her. So this is the practice. That's just my, what's happening in my life. Like, but, and it doesn't mean, you know, you have to like never take a girl home or anything, right? It's like, oh, can I have a girl in my car? That's not what I'm saying. But in my position, right, I need to do that. That's important. And so you can translate it any way you want for where you are in your life. And you got to, okay, it's got to make, got to work for you. Otherwise, your girlfriend can't ride in your car, right? It's like, how do we do that? We got to walk? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'll meet you there. Can you get your mom to drop you off? So, anyway, but you know what I mean. So. Hey, these are good questions. Once the question box gets open and the questions start coming back out of the floor that they're hiding in, they're good questions. Anything else? Is the nothing box open? Because I'm staring into a lot of blankness. Are we done? For a number of reasons. Good question. One of them, we talked about it last week, is that sex is a divine gift. That's why it's so powerful, that God's given us this incredible gift to use. Is it better that he didn't give it to us at all? I'd say no, right? I like the power of it because the power of it is incredible when it comes to intimacy in your marriage. Like, God's given us this tool for incredible intimacy in our marriages. So of course it's going to be hard not to enter into and use that gift before God's plan, right? Because it's good. If it sucked, there'd be no temptation at all, right? So it'd be like, we wouldn't even be having this conversation. So that's one of the reasons, because of the power that God's given it. Because it's such an incredible tool for intimacy in your relationship. If it wasn't powerful, there'd be no draw. Another reason is, I think, like we mentioned it earlier today, I think the struggle and the hardship of navigating sexual purity in our minds produces courage and strength and character in us. I think that's what it does. And even when we fail, when we get back up, we repent, we confess our sins, and get back up and keep going, it's producing something in you. And part of it is humility, right? Because it sucks falling over and over again. But that's how God roots pride out of your life, yeah. Oh, that's a good question. Number of ways. Number one, you each have an individual relationship with Jesus. So that's already the present. Number two, you both belong to the body of Christ. Right? So you treat her like a sister in the Lord. That's what the Bible says, right? Treat women as sisters. Maybe that's a better one. Would you do this with your sister instead of your mom? Woohoo! let's not go there. Okay, sorry, I just lost my train of thought on that one. Just dropped the sister bomb. Okay, so how do you bring this in? Well, partly I think there needs to be some separateness until you're married, right? So your spirituality is developing and growing, but you can spur each other on, like the church is meant to build each other up. You can do that. Right, you can encourage your girlfriend. You can encourage her in the faith. You can Accelerate Team is a perfect example because we're reading the same scripture, but we're not all reading it together and talking about it. We meet together as a big group, so you get to hear. Are you and Haley still going on? Okay, sorry, I didn't know. I'm like, well, this could go horribly wrong. Okay, so you and Haley are dating. So here's the benefit of you being part of this discussion in a group. You get to hear what Haley's learning. Right. This is cool. And she gets to hear what you're learning because you're part of that Accelerate. Now, if you're not part of the Accelerate team, one of the things that we do as our student leadership team is we read a book of the Bible every month. You can do that too. You can read the book with us if you want. But that's something I would encourage. Like, read a book of the Bible with your girlfriend, and then find a group of friends to talk about it with, right? That's perfectly legit, right? And that's kind of a way you can intersect it. You get to cheat a little bit there, right? Because it's like, okay, we're having some spiritual intimacy, but it's with a group of people, so it's, I think it's pretty safe. Does that make sense?
It's not the same thing.
Yeah, it's definitely not the same thing. It's not one-on-one intimacy.
Even with your girlfriend, in a group, it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Speaking that from what I have with the elders or what I have with our leaders last night, all the female, male leaders, different than I have with my wife. My wife, it's different. She can go to a different level of spirituality. She actually, we end up keeping each other on track in different ways, but she goes more, the wife will have your back more than anybody else in the world. You will have her back more than anybody else in the world. That's what the intimacy is about.
And I know, guys, some of you guys don't have that at home. You don't see that in your parents. But it is, I'm here to tell you, I know you haven't witnessed this, but it's possible. And it's only possible when we pursue Christ and what he has for us. Then it's possible. It really is. And I know maybe some of you guys are really doubting it because you're living in a broken home. Your mom and dad maybe hate each other. I don't know. But when we live by the biblical principles, something happens. It's not easy. Me and my wife, man, we went through some rough, rough times. There was times when I didn't know if it was going to work out, be honest with you. But man, working through those things and being a team has produced something in us that's incredible. I'm 13 years into marriage. I love my wife. I can't imagine life without her. I'm telling you, it's possible. But it isn't possible by just trying to be a better husband or be a better guy. It was possible because both of us were pursuing Christ in our own relationship. And that's, you want to grow? You grow by pursuing Christ. And if you're both doing it, you're going to grow. You don't need to grow together. You're going to grow. Because the whole, seek first the kingdom of heaven. That's Jesus' statement, right? Seek first me. Look to me. Chase after me. Other things, they'll happen when they need to happen. But look at me first. Chase after me. And all these other things, they'll be provided for you. Make sense? Any other questions? Any that we didn't answer to your liking, you can say, I need more. Are we good?
Yeah.
So just so you guys know, you can don't have to leave this conversation here. You don't have to put it in a box and file it away. You can take that box out and talk to me, Darce, Caleb, Nathan, John, anytime you want, or each other. Talk about it. Get it out. Get these things out. Don't let it fester in the dark. If I can encourage you, don't. It takes a lot of courage to take that step. So if you want to talk, bring things into light. All right, break.